The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Story. For those of you who have been sitting there for the last 7-8 minutes being like, oh, where is everyone? Why is there no show? I just didn't hit the go live button. And so Danny and I have been talking for 8 minutes. And then I looked and I was like, wow, there's like not a single comment. That's weird. And then it was like, oh, I messed up. So we're going to do this again. Maybe it's even better the second time through. I am Dr. Mason West, apparently an idiot, and this is Danny, not as idiot-y as me today, at least.
Hi, I'm firefighter EMT Danny Meehan.
Ah, fun stuff. Good times. All right. We're going to just jump right into it because we already kind of did this. Chart review, not a lot to talk about really from previously. Lions signed veteran pass rusher Bruce Irvin. Bolsters their pass rush a little bit, you know, not necessarily something that's going to break the bank, but it's something of note. Danny, a question you have no idea is coming. What was your preseason prediction for the Bears record?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to compose myself. It's too funny. I believe I had them at 7-10. I might have even floated them at maybe best case scenario, getting to like 8-9, but it always felt like this, like Vegas doesn't put a 6.5 win total out by accident, right? Like we all kind of knew if they were to get to that 6-7 wins, that's a pretty good start.
And the thing that's kind of funny is sitting right here, you know, the Bears have 3 wins. They're 3-3 in the last six. They're in a position where looking forward at the schedule, definitely harder on the front of the seven, the first four. Lions twice, Vikings in there, Browns in there with a bye. You know, if you sneak out of that with a win, now all of a sudden the back end, those last three, you know, the Falcons are in there, the Cardinals are in there, the Packers are in there. I know it, the quality of how you get to those 7 wins that you just talked about really matters. But if you got to 6 wins, if you somehow got to 7 wins, does that matter for you? Because in theory, there was, you still got to your 7.
I think it should matter. Especially when you're talking about the future of the head coach and the GM specifically, like if you're like, it sounds bad. I kind of don't care about Tyson Bagent's wins. I just don't. Like he does not matter for when this team is good again. At this point, as much as I believe that the Bears Justin Fields era is in hospice and we're just kind of waiting for it to end, him being good and him being the one to win games and being the factor that makes it happen, that matters more towards them potentially being a winner than it does Tyson Bagent throwing for 110 yards in a win.
And this connects to something that no one will directly hear because this was when we weren't recording. So, whoops. You talked about fan how you want to fan, right? Because like right now, there are a lot of people who are very much in full tank mode. There are some people who are in full, we can make the playoffs somehow mode. I'm in assess mode. I just want to see what's going to happen here because this current setup in terms of the offensive line, in terms of the receivers, in terms of the defense potentially progressing, they played some bad teams, bad quarterbacks, but taking some steps forward and definitely with a better pass rush with Montez Sweat, this is arguably the best team that Justin has played with as a Chicago Bear in its current composure. So in theory, that matters, and the assessment of Justin from these seven games is, in theory, the most accurate assessment of him.
I would agree with that. Like, and I also just kind of to recap what I said prior, fan how you want to fan, I just want to know when I'm allowed to openly root for wins again. Like,
not being yelled at.
Not being, you want Eberflus back, you want this. No, I don't. But I'm so sick and damn tired of every sport in this city being told it's time to lose because you need to. We're going to do it again with the Bulls.
Oh, God, yeah.
We're getting ready to do the shit again. Like, what? When am I allowed to say it's okay to win? Because let's say they tank out, they bottom out, whatever this year, and they get Drake May for argument's sake with the number two pick because I don't think anyone's going to beat the Giants to that number one pick.
Oh, my God. I look at the Giants' schedule. The hardest game they have, the only win they might get is against the Patriots.
And that's not with Tommy DeVito.
And that was a maybe. The rest, it's like they play the Eagles twice.
Yeah, they're just not good. So say, and I don't, the reason I default to Drake May is you're probably getting number two at this point, and Daboll is not taking Drake May. He's going to get the guy that has more superhero quality, and that's Caleb. But say they start out 1-4, 2-5 next year with a brand new quarterback. What are we doing then? We're going to talk about tanking to get more supporting help around Drake May, or am I allowed to root for wins because it means it's quarterback? And the other part about this is with the tank wins, you don't just stop tanking. You don't magically get good overnight.
Right. It's not a switchy flip.
It's especially not in this game where it's a violent physical game that takes a toll on your body, and you're actively telling this locker room, it's okay. That losing is okay, is what you're saying. Like, and that's why I push back so hard against it. Like, I get it. It's, does wins increase the likelihood that Eberflus probably comes back? Maybe. But I kind of just want to finally see some wins again. Like, I'm tired of this.
And sorry. No, you're good. And connecting to your Drake May point, so this is something that I had Kyrie answer for me last week. So I'm going to have you answer the same question. We'll arbitrarily do this question as the season progresses. This is our triage, health and vitals, kind of a little check-in mentally with where you're at. I get a sense of where you're leaning with this. So you don't get to explain yourself. You just get to give an answer, and then we're going to move on. And Kyrie was quite upset about that, by the way.
I was going to be upset about it, too.
Right now, you know, according to Tankathon, the Bears have the Carolina's pick, which hits at number one, and then they have their pick at number five currently. You have the Giants at two, New England at three, Arizona at four. Right now, your GM, Danny Meehan, who are you taking at one? And in theory, off the top of your head, who are you taking at five without doing a deep dive?
Without doing a deep dive, one, currently May, I would take above Williams. And at five, you said they're holding, right?
Yep.
Harrison Jr.'s probably gone. I'd probably opt to trade back.
I would. Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, that was our triage. Concussed corner. This is something we did not like from last game. A decision so odd that the decision maker must be concussed. Mine's pretty simple. It's just hashtag Bears special teams. Just Amir Smith, Marcet, punt return, touchdown. You can't let that happen. I mean, it's not like they actively did something specifically to cause that, but in a game where you're playing the one game on the schedule, maybe two, we were playing a clearly inferior opponent to let a punt return like that happen. Like, it's just ridiculous. And
the ISM revenge game, man.
It just shows, I think, as a whole, the issue with what kind of what you talked about. You don't just turn tanking on and off. The problem is the team just isn't that good. You know, depth is an issue. So that means that your people you have is your gunners, the people that you have who are, you know, running down to make that tackle and punt are not as good as you would like. But in addition to that, it shows kind of the ineptitude of continuation of that, of the coach, of the coaching, right? I mean, Hightower, just how do you let that happen? That's my corner.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always going to, that was going to probably be where I was going to, just because they did. So let's put it bluntly. Bryce Young left a lot of meat on the bone, as it were, missing open throws against the defense that, while it's turned a corner, is still not very good. And you gave them points when you can't score. Like, that's the long and the short of it. And then, I guess I'll just default to Getsy. I don't know what it is about him where he finds something that works and immediately just decides, I don't want to use this anymore, so I'm going to stop doing this. It's maddening. Yeah. I just don't know what it is about him. It's like, oh, well, we found out this worked. Fuck what's working. I'm going to do what I want. Like, oh, okay. Like, here we go.
It's almost like, and I think I actually said this last week, you know, it's not even, it's like he's trying to play 3D chess when all you got to do is play chess, right? He's like anticipating, like, oh, well, they're going to try to stop this, so let's like do what we would do if they stopped it. And it's like, well, have them show that they truly stopped it first, then you can try to do that.
You know what's crazy about that is the guy that many people consider the best play caller in the league right now, in Kyle Shanahan, when he finds out a play is working, he calls it religiously
over and over until and over.
You stop him. Like, it, like, at what point did, like, the KISS method go out of style? Like, keep it simple, stupid. If it's working, keep doing it. But, you know.
And we'll do a quick break here. Talk about Achilles. Time to talk Achilles ankle repair. The first thing to hit the ground when you play most sports is your foot. So why isn't your foot and ankle strength a priority for you? Achilles was created by founder Trey Villarreal and co-founder Eric Schlossberg to give every athlete the advantage to perform with confidence and allow them to play at 100% even after suffering serious injuries. It is trusted by collegiate and professional teams all over the nation. The Achilles has been shown to increase muscle development by as much as 320% in the lower leg muscles. I use this myself for my personal ankle strength and with all my lower extremity patients. Often, transitioning from table exercise to functional movements and standing can be hard due to ankle weakness. Traditional bands are too weak, don't really do anything, honestly, and many standing balance exercises are too tough. Achilles bridges the gap by bulletproofing the ankles and knees. Achilles can be used for rehab, injury prevention, overall strengthening, so it's great for the clinic, the gym, or the home. Doesn't matter if you're a basketball player or just someone who just rolls their ankle walking on the sidewalk. Want to see it in action? Head to their Instagram, Achilles_Nation, or my own personal page, dr.westsportpt. Then go to anklerepair.com to order yours.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Now, time for our training room roundup, which is actually kind of a good thing this time around, which is rare for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, a good thing. And I know we're going to get to him, but I just want to touch on it. Another indictment that I've noticed on this roster is, and I will always go back to, I will never agree with trading Roquan Smith. It never made sense to me. You didn't want to pay Roquan. So you traded him. You paid Tremaine Edmonds effectively what you would have paid Roquan, maybe a little less. What, 18 versus 20? Okay, cool. He goes out. Jack Sanborn comes in, starts playing, and his presence is felt much more immediately and dramatically than Tremaine Edmonds had been felt all year.
I just noticed him on the screen more.
What are we doing here?
I guess, you know, it goes back to, there's two main things, I guess.
It's aggravating.
And it's valid. Adam Hogue talked about this last week on their pod. He was saying how he was upset that he never got to see Jack Sanborn play next to Roquan Smith. And I think that's a valid point because it's never got there, obviously, but you didn't trust Sanborn, undrafted free agent, rookie. I understand all that. But there's like kind of two points that one, there's the whole argument about Roquan not fitting the system. And you can see that he went to Baltimore and has done a lot better. And there's some validity to that. But at the same time, you got to keep your best players around and figure out ways to make them successful.
If you can't make an all-pro fit your system probably sucks.
And then the second layer to that is, and it really shouldn't have gotten to this point, but it goes back to the whole, you know, not having an agent, the family fest message that went out. I mean, once that happened, I don't know if it was necessarily repairable, but it shouldn't have gotten there.
It shouldn't have. And I maintain there's some level of whether it was Ryan Poles or whoever it might have been. Someone had some hurt feelings there. That's the only thing that makes sense. Because you didn't even get great value. You got an end of the second round pick for a guy who's a defensive player of the year candidate right now.
And I agree with that. I think I would have hoped you would have gotten better, but to play devil's advocate to it, because I'm sure someone listening is going to do that. You know, oh, you're talking about a position that is not highly touted in linebacker. You're talking about you're not just trading an asset, but you're having to pay that player. So that's going to lower the pick that you're going to get back because, you know, he's not controlled by the team, all that jazz. And that's probably why you got what you got. But caveat, devil's advocate to my devil's advocate, you traded away a high second-round pick for Chase Claypool. You traded away a high second-round pick for Montez Sweat. Now, wide receiver, edge are more highly valued, but you had to pay Montez Sweat. You had to theoretically pay Chase Claypool if you wanted that, you know, to long-term workout. So I just don't think there's as much merit to that
argument. I didn't mean to hijack training room roundup. I saw him, and I was just like,
but it connects because, you know, with him not participating, and I did this last time with Kyrie, when you break down essentially, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, when you break down like their tackles and tackles for losses in particular, like Jack Sanborn's as efficient as he has been in that, and you're paying him about $800,000 per tackle versus your per game versus you're paying Tremaine Edmonds $2 million per tackle per game. The math isn't there. Now, I said this last week, Tremaine Edmonds in theory also gives you a little bit more in the pass game in terms of dropping back and this whole cover two thing. But like you said earlier, you notice Jack Sanborn in the game more often.
Right. Like I had one game where I felt like Tremaine turned the corner and he was here and then he disappeared again.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yes, you want your high-paid middle linebacker out there, but right now, I don't know that it's – are you missing him? And if you look at just at least box score stats, the answer is no.
No, I don't think you're missing him at all.
But overall, the team's pretty healthy. You know, Nate Davis is back. That's huge. So your line is arguably the best line Justin has played with, which isn't – again, I got some stats later, but we'll dive into that.
Yep.
Kyrie Blassen game, concussion back. That's huge. Just – from a football perspective, having your fullback there, because now you don't need to have Tyler Scott as your fullback. I don't know why the hell they ever did that, but also just as, you know, concussions are scary. Khalil Herbert, full participant. Jack Sanborn, full participant. Charles Smith, full participant. Huge. Finally back from that mono. Nice to have that depth at corner because we were lacking it, that secondary. And of course, you have your rest for Mercedes Lewis, veteran rest day.
172 years old.
Doesn't matter. Lions, not too much to talk about. The one that's kind of funny here is, I mean, Frank Ragnow was a full participant and then went to DNP. If you look, there's a little rest tag on there, so they should have their center. They're going to have their
full offensive line. I also just love the plethora of things for him. Toe, back, rest. It's just a cavalcade of stuff. Like, yeah, he's fine.
It's like just kind of old man injury, like the full list there. And this kind of stinks for the Bears in terms of if you're trying to have him win, because the Lions did have some offensive line injury woes before, but now their line's healthy. But so in terms of the players that are out for the Bears, I mean, really, it's just going to be Tremaine. And so,
and it's probably going to be Deonte Foreman too. I don't think Getsy has Foreman. The wherewithal. Yeah. He's a limited participant, but I just don't think they have the wherewithal to keep him active. Like,
And it kind of goes back to when we talked about why he was inactive. Why was he inactive? Everyone's questioning this.
It's because he doesn't play teams. Because
he doesn't play special teams. Mm-hmm. And they drafted Roschon Johnson. They like what he does as a third down back and trust him as a pass blocker and things of that nature. And Deontay just doesn't have that. And it's just too hard with 53 people on your roster to have three running backs that don't play special teams.
I agree. It just, for me, I think he's the best runner on the team. And you're just going to be actively not playing him. And it seems like cutting off your nose despite your face. Like, this is the thing we want to do well on offense, but we're going to take the guy who does it the best and we're just going to be like, eh, go away.
So you'd have to, if you kept him active, are you keeping a fourth running back also active? Or is there some other position that would be, hey, you got to play some more special teams for us because we're not getting any from our running backs?
It would probably be the latter, right? You'd probably try to pull another safety or another linebacker to go play.
Yeah. That's probably the way to go about it.
I mean, I'm not the coach. I don't know.
knee-jerk reaction. One hot take going into next week. Get ready for a wild seven games is mine. I think a lot of these games are going to be closer than people think. I don't think you're going to have like that Chargers blowout really for the rest of the season. Maybe the Browns game, but even that one, just because I think their offense is going to be kind of pedantic. It won't be necessarily a shootout. From what I'm understanding, I just think Justin's going to have a very different back end of the season.
Mine is similar to yours in that I think the Bears may end up upsetting people because it's the NFL. I get we say any given Sunday all the time, but legitimately, I understand the defense still isn't good, but they have gotten better. And you're seeing it week over week over week where they're just getting better. Like, eventually, Gervon Dexter is going to go get his first sack. It's going to happen.
Will it truly?
I feel like maybe. Zach Pickens only played, I think, 13 or 14 snaps, but he looked good, especially in the run game, in those snaps. Andrew Billings has got his new money, and he's a good defensive lineman. The overall line looks better since the acquisition of Montez Sweat, as it should. Like, they are going to mess around and win a game they shouldn't win.
Yeah.
It's going to happen because, and it's just, you know what? I'm here for it. Give me all your tears for these tank people. Like, I don't care. You want the higher pick based on Carolina. I want to watch winning football. I want to care about the outcome because where I get is I don't root for losses. I just become apathetic. Like, just whatever. We're 11 games into basketball season. And I'm already there. 12 games. Or just, whatever happens, happens. I'm not going to actively root for my team to suck. I just can't. I don't have that in me.
Yeah, I would say I'm the same way. To be perfectly honest, mine is the current projected offensive line for the Bears. Jones, Jenkins, Patrick, Davis, Wright from left to right. And I already said this is the best offensive line he's played with in the NFL. Still isn't like fantastic offensive line. And per PFF, the grades from left to right for these starters are 61.5, 72.0, 48.9, Lucas Patrick, gross, 55.6, and 63.1.
Now, so it's average.
It's
average. Yeah.
So at least now you can sit there and say, okay, since it's at least average, and in theory, Justin shouldn't be running for his life. And, you know, can he get that sack number, which is about, I think, 12% sack rate, down closer to what the Tyson Bagent had, which was closer to 3%. Can he elevate when he has, because he has in theory the time, can he elevate the rest of the team, or is it just more of the same?
It's an excellent question, right? Because the thing he struggles with is digestion of what's in front of him. Tyson Bagent lives in the world he lives in because he has to. He physically cannot do things that Justin can do. He physically can't do things that probably 55 quarterbacks in the NFL can do just because he's so limited. He's not big. He's not strong. He doesn't have a great arm. He's not overly fast. To exist the way he does, he has to live a certain way, and it's threading a very small needle.
And what is your, to be perfectly honest?
I think we're going to see the defensive line get better, and I think we saw that last week, and that's kind of what I was getting at with Montez Sweat. Like, I don't think Montez Sweat is anything more than a good, not great defensive end. But when you put him on a line that lacked any sort of real, even red chip player, like, he's going to be felt, and they have to focus on him, and it's going to make everyone else's job just a little bit easier. So, to be perfectly honest, I think you're going to see the defense continue to improve, specifically up front, because of Montez Sweat. And now you're left to right, Yannick Ngakoue, Andrew Billings, Gervon Dexter, and Montez Sweat is a representative NFL defensive line. Or even if you want to flip out Gervon and make him and say DeMarcus Walker is your de facto three technique on pass rushing downs. That's representative NFL defensive line play.
Absolutely. Now we just got to start to get some of those pressures that Montez Sweat himself is generating or helping others generate translate into more hits. Correct. And then ultimately more sacks. But hopefully the adage sacks come in bunches is true. Well, ain't this humorous? Something that we found quirky, funny going into this game. Mine is, if you don't throw downfield, it's hard to win games, apparently. Funny enough. I used this stat last week, but it's still important. So I want to highlight again, especially with the transition now from Bajan to Justin. Tyson Bajan is dead last out of 37 quarterbacks that account for the stat, minimum 83 pass attempts in the league in average intended air yards with 6.2. So he is, whether it's completions or incompletions, he's only averaging an intended ball in the air 6.2 yards. Justin Fields ranks 16th with 8. Justin also has a PFF grade of 73.6, which is good for 17 out of 38, compared to Bajan, who ranks 31st out of 38 with a 57.4. That being said, Justin is 26th in completion percent and 27th in expected completions percent. So, you know, you can interpret that as, A, he's not completing a lot of passes, but also based on advanced metrics, all those passes aren't really expected to be completed. You can take that as you will. You know, is Justin throwing bad passes from the get-go, or he has not been put in a good position to make completions that and wouldn't be expected to. So all that being said, throw the ball downfield.
Yeah. My ain't this humorous is kind of piggybacking off that of, I always go back to the movie clip from Black Panther. This is your king. The thing that everyone talked about with Bajan was he protects the ball. He's going to get the ball out fast. He's got more interceptions than Justin does in less time and less attempts and less games. He turns the ball over more. And he can't, when you're, there's one thing you're not allowed to do as a backup quarterback. You're not allowed to turn the goddamn ball over.
Exactly.
It's not allowed. Like, I don't care how quick the ball gets out. Great. He's getting it out in 2.6 seconds. It just means he's giving it to the other team faster. Like, yay. Like, this whole thing of like, what are we talking about here with Tyson Bajan? He's a nice story. Yes, dad's got a WWE persona. He's a world wrestling, arm wrestling champion. Cool. I don't care. He's not good. He's an NFL backup quarterback, and to find that out of Shepherd University is a hell of a find.
And it just sucks because I feel like you, myself, Kyrie, we have to keep almost defending our take by saying, first, I'm happy for Tyson. I'm happy to have Tyson. I'm happy for Tyson as a backup. Because it has nothing to do with, we're not anti-Tyson, there's no vendetta against him, but you can look and see what he is.
But when you constantly have to bring up Justin Fields' inadequacies when you mention Tyson Bajan, like, you're telling on yourself a very certain thing about your views on quarterbacking. I don't have to get into it. You know exactly what I'm saying. You are telling on yourself very specific things about you if the first thing you say is, well, Justin Fields does this too. I don't care about Justin Fields when I'm talking about Tyson Bajan. That's it.
you can analyze the two separately. What you need to know. So a little transition into more specific stuff for this Lions game. The Bears-Lions rivalry has been played 186 times, with the Bears winning 104 of those games and Detroit winning 77 of those games. There's also been 5 ties. Last matchup, the Bears lost. This was back January 1st, 2023, 41-10, gross, before the last November game where they lost. But that was only 31-0, and actually the Bears led for a little while in that game. The Lions have the second most drop passes this season with 20. My big question kind of leading up to this for you, Danny, is does Justin Fields need to win one of these Lions games to be in contention, any chance to be QB1 next year in Chicago?
I think he absolutely does.
And is like, it more than one, or does he need two, or is one and one okay?
I think if he were to go 1-1, that'd be fine. The Lions are the cream of the crop in this division at the moment. I think Campbell's a solid NFL head coach and has made a lot of people that were laughing at him look a certain kind of way by getting by leading the way he does. He's goofy, he's a meatball, but for what lack of better terminology, what do you guys think football players are? They're a bunch of meatheads who run into each other for a living. Yeah, it's going to play pretty well in those locker rooms, especially because he genuinely cares about his guys. I think it would really go a long way for him to win one. But what you need to know is you're going to see a lot of pass yards put up against the Bears, despite the drop passes. They put up points in bunches. The running back from Alabama, Jahmyr Gibbs, has gotten a lot more run. Mm-hmm. You're going to see him a lot in the passing game. Jamison Williams, I believe, should be playing.
Khalif Raymond, disappointment still. It's wild. Oh, he's not better than he is.
Huge disappointment.
St. Brown
is going to catch his 14 balls.
Operating out of the slot, operating underneath. I mean, that's exactly. He's going to run that slant right past Jalen. This isn't against a knock against Jalen Johnson. It's a knock against the way the defense is formulated. He's going to run that, you know, a slant, even if he's on the outside against Jalen. And because Jalen has to drop into coverage, he's going to go right between that window between the linebacker, the corner. He's going to make that catch. And then it's like, all right, how did he get an 8-yard gain? It's like, well, because the way the defense is constructed is stupid.
So basically that's all I was getting at. The need to know is you can stop the run all you want against them. The Bears are still one of the five best run stopping teams in the league on a per carry average. But when you can't get home against the quarterback and third and 13 just doesn't feel insurmountable as it should, especially with Jared Goff, who is a legitimate NFL quarterback, who is throwing to legitimate NFL weapons with one of the better offensive lines in football, it's a recipe for you're going to have to score to try to win this game.
And one thing that I was really excited about, one thing that was really cool that I was, so again, listening to Hogan Johns today, they had, you know, the beat writer for the Lions on, and one of the things that he said when talking about Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator, was that when Ben Johnson took over for Anthony Lynn, he sat down, went back, watched a lot of tape for Goff from the Lions, from the Rams, et cetera, and created an offense that he felt fit what Goff does best. Kind of music to your ears, because what you, in terms of what you talked about before, Danny, right, we currently have an offensive coordinator that doesn't really do that for Justin in particular, right? Doesn't cater to what he does best. And so one of the things I'm watching, what you might need to know as a Bears fan watching this game, is Ben Johnson could be your head coach of the future, depending on how things shake up here in Chicago. So kind of watch for what he does calling plays for Jared Goff and how he caters to Goff.
Also probably has my favorite run game in the league to watch, because there's nothing that's off limits. They will run anything and everything related to running the football, whether it be power, duo, zone, inside, outside. It's awesome.
We're going to move on to our love it, hate it, rehabilitate it. So something that we love about this matchup for the Bears versus Lions, something we hate, and something we rehab. Danny, what do you love?
What I love is pretty much what Justin could offer in terms of the fact that he is just a more gooder football player than Tyson Bagent is. Like, some of the stuff he should be able to do, I just want to see them do the things that we know work. Like, and it sounds so dumb to keep preaching this, but it's like, cut the field in half, run him on boots, get him out and, like, call designed runs here and there. Like, especially because as good as Aiden Hutchinson is, he's not like this kick-ass win off the line, like, pass rusher. He wins off of effort and the fact that you need to, that he like keeps coming. Like, he's not just blowing by his man and just getting home on the quarterback right away. That's not his game. It's not how he's built. Like, I love how he could potentially match up against this defense, because the Detroit defense isn't particularly good. And he's made them pay in the past before. We just need to see it, I guess.
My love is the story, I guess. For one, it's just been boring covering the Bears for the last couple of weeks here, and potentially moving forward. But at least right now, there's still, for me, there's a little spark of, okay, what if? because now I'm wondering what can happen. You know, again, you have four tough defenses, but at the same time, you have players, you have coaches, you know, playing for their jobs, nothing to lose. It could turn into a very fun story. I'm just excited to sit back and see what happens, I guess.
I'm with you on that. Could be fun.
My hate. So the Bears defense has been better lately, as you said. Over the last weeks, 5 through 10 per True Media Sports, the run defense ranks first, the pass defense ranks 19th, the total yards is 6th, third down percent is 12th, explosive play percent is 1st, and total team defensive EPA is 5th. So overall, those are pretty good numbers, except for maybe the pass defense. But I still hate this pass rush versus this O-line. The Bears have the lowest pressure rate in the NFL at 27.9%. The line's offensive line is really solid. They're just good. They maul you in the run game. They give Goff time. They do not allow a lot of pressures. So, you know, unless something drastically changed in, you know, changes, I'm still wary of if they can put enough pressure on Goff to rattle him.
That's pretty much where my hate would be too. Just any ability to get home and wreak any havoc in the passing game. Like, I'm not worried about them running the football. Like, I'm just not. Like, because especially with Sanborn, they are better at stopping the run than with Tremaine. It's just, I don't know, third down feels insurmountable when you just can't get home. And it should be better. It should be. Montez, I think it's looked better with the sweat. But someone still has to get there. And it's just not yet. It's yet to be seen in any sort of regularity to start.
We'll believe it when we see it, kind of thing.
Yeah, seeing is believing. Exactly.
I rehabilitate. Actually, you Curry, before we talked about this, but you know, deep throws off play action. I want more motion. It's such a static offense, and then moving the pocket. Yes, the offensive line should be better, but let's create windows. Let's create easy reads and. You know, use that to play action off the run game, you know, establish that run, which they've shown you don't need to establish a run for play action to work, but you have a good run game. So you might as well parlay off of it.
I agree. The rehabilitated, like, I don't even know where to begin. Like it is the pass rush, but I don't know how you do that short of just overhauling it with more talent. And that can't happen until after the year. So yeah, I guess I'll just duplicate what you would say, because I'm going to keep coming back to you earn the right to rush the passer, and this defensive front just can't earn that right because they're not good enough.
Yeah, it seems, if for people who listen to us consistently, I know it sounds like we talk about a lot of the same stuff, but that's because it continues to be a problem. And so it's hard to talk about anything else when your pass rush still is not what it needs to be.
Right.
X factor for the Lions, what the Lions need to do to win this game. There's a lot of different things for this. For me personally, this is my make Danny upset section. This is takeaway Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet currently ranks third in average separation and third in the league in completion percentage. PFF has Kmet with zero drop passes, and the Lions rank 7th worst in fantasy points allowed to tight ends. They also rank 21st in yards per reception allowed to tight ends with 10.31. So in theory, this could be the Cole Kmet gets another 2 touchdown and helps upset the Lions, and Danny can't make his he falls on the ground joke.
I mean, I'm still going to make the joke. I'm still going to get my jokes off. But you know what? I will say this. As someone who is an avid, I don't want to say hater, but an avid.
No, hater's fine. You can say hater.
Critic, I'll say critic of Cole. He's better than I ever thought he was. And as someone who is very much in love with the draft process and what goes into it and doing my own evaluations and stuff like that, that you can hear right here on Windy City Gridiron, like, you always want, I never want a player to fail. You always want these guys to exceed above and beyond. You try to just be measured in what they are. He never looked to me to be that great a player, and he's far exceeded anything I could have imagined. Credit to him. That's awesome. He's one of the 8 to 10 best tight ends probably in football at the moment, and he's being paid as such. No issues on my end. I'm still going to rag on him when I get the chance because it's my brand at this point, apparently. But yeah, like, good for you, Cole. Shut me up.
Like, it is funny because you do watch sometimes when he runs some of his routes, like, he's not as explosive as you'd want, right? I mean, but at the same time, it's tough. I feel that we've gotten as a football society that we've created this standard of the Kelce's, the Kittles, the even like maybe like a Sam Laporta type, a Dalton Kincaid. You can go to this draft and look at a Brock Bowers, that's our tight end.
When the fraud that is Arthur Smith decides to use Kyle Pitts.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started on that. Hopefully they continue to play that fucking spot.
I was such a big fan of the Arthur Smith hire, and this guy just seems to be a fraud. Just at every moment.
His running concepts are beautiful, but he forgets to use Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, he forgets to use arguably the guy who's already the best running back in football. Oops.
Oh, wait, what was your X factor for the Lions?
It's Amon-Ra. Just, he's going to be open, and he's going to catch 173 passes this weekend.
He's literally like the worst kind of receiver for this Bears defensive play.
Yes. And he's the other part about it, he's a good hard blocker. He doesn't take plays off. Like, he's always on the field. So, and we get the St. Brown love fest of Equanimeous and Amon-Ra. Except one is really, really good. The other one is going to last in the NFL forever because he does all the little things right to hang on the bottom of a roster.
why don't you keep going? X Factor for the Bears.
But really? We're doing this? No. X Factor for the Bears, DJ Moore. You've got one of the 10 best receivers in football. Use him as such. Spam him. I don't care what you do to get him the football. Just make sure he's involved. And don't forget about him. Don't go full Getsy and when something's working or someone's getting targeted and it seems to be working, just forget about it because that's apparently just what you do. But yeah, he's my X factor. If you want a chance, I think you really have to heavily target DJ Moore.
My X factor is building off what you were talked about, pressure for the Bears, pressure the damn quarterback. You know, Montez Sweat had 7 pressures versus the Panthers, which is tied for 4th among all defenders in Week 10. Detroit ranks 17th in average explosive pass rate and 13th in average explosive run rate. So, you know, they're right. They're not the most explosive team, but they can create explosive plays on you. And one of the ways you can limit that is by pressuring the quarterback. Jared Goff ranks 7th in expected completion percentage with 66.7 and 8th in passer rating with 99.1 on the year. The Lions also rank 4th best in sacks allowed with only 4.68%. The teams that are better than them, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Miami. So surprise to no one, if you protect the quarterback and you don't take sacks, you win football games. And so
weird.
Crazy.
The other part that I want to mention with that is what makes golf life easier. I know it's easy to get caught up in David Montgomery being the former Bear. The thing he's actually probably best at is catching the damn football. Like, that's where he added his most value even last year as a Bear. They've got 2 running backs who are arguably their best trait is catching the damn football. This isn't going to be easy for the Bears defense. Like you said, you got to get pressure. You got to make Goff uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Over unders. So, yeah, transitioning to the part of the show, we're just going to pick a bunch of fun stuff. So, over, under, Justin Fields' total yards, 300.
Let's go full fanboy. We're doing it. Go over. He's going over 300.
Over. Lock it in. Love it. David Montgomery scores with a FU celebration to the Bears, 0.5. So basically, he does something after he scores that kind of is like a, you should have kept
it. Like a dig at the Bears?
Yeah.
I'll say over, especially because I think Campbell's going to try his damnedest to get him in the end zone.
Yeah, right. What was it like last week where the 49ers like actively, even though it didn't make sense for like the game script, were like, we're going to get Christian McCaffrey's touchdown to get that record, but they just couldn't do it. I would see Campbell kind of doing the same thing. Like, they could be up by 2 and be like, I don't care. We're 2 touchdowns. Like, I don't care. We're still going to get David Montgomery a touchdown. So David Montgomery rushing yards, over, under 100.
Under.
DJ Moore targets, 8.
this is kind of how I feel about, like, when I wasn't so apathetic towards the Bulls, like, with the Zach LaVine three-point attempts. Zach LaVine should have been shooting 10 threes a game. Like, just get him up, because he's one of the 10 best shooters in the NBA, and it's changing the math equation. You should be targeting DJ Moore 10 times. No questions asked.
Every game.
No,
however you need to do it, get the ball in his hands 10 times.
I don't care how. But they'll probably do it like 7 times, I'll say under. I want to be wrong about this, but.
Detroit Lions turnovers forced, 1.5.
So you're saying the amount of times they get the Bears to turn the ball over?
Correct.
Over, just barely, look at 2.
Gross.
Justin will probably give them 1, and they'll probably cough it up somehow.
Aiden Hutchinson interceptions, 0.5.
None. 0. Under.
Just my little nod to last year.
Yep. Oh, I know. I know.
Montez Sweat sacks. I used to say 1.5 because 0.5 seems silly because it was like that lame, but now I have to do 0.5 because he still doesn't have one. So Montez Sweat sacks, 0.5.
He gets his first as a Bear.
Yeah, let's do it.
Mind you, though, he's going to have a really hard matchup. He's going up against Penei every play. And Penei is one of the 4 or 5 best tackles in the game, regardless of side. Right? Like, am I out on an island saying that? Like,
no, I mean, he's great.
He's freaking awesome.
Speaking of Dom Burr, Penei Sewell breaks a sweat. No idea what that even means, but just because you said Penei, I figured I'd throw that out there. Game predictions. Bears at Lions. So it was it was -9 Lions, but it has moved since yesterday to 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
I think the Lions win, but the Bears cover.
When I think it's at 9, I thought it was an easy cover. I just think, you know, not easy, but I thought it was like I was more confident. I still think they can. I mean, like, I also just numbers. I mean, how
often do you win a game by? I feel like every time we talk about this, though, the line seems so big, and then, like, something like the Chargers happens, and you're just like, great, fun. This is fun. I'm having fun.
Yes, you're 100% correct on that. My caveat is the Justin Fields versus Bajan thing, so hopefully more scoring power. The Bears match relatively well with what the Lions do well. It's just really the St. Brown underneath stuff that scares me. But yeah, like you've said, though, I mean, they've continued to disappoint over and over and over again. I'll take the Bears to cover. Yeah, I'll take the Bears. Bengals at Ravens tonight, -3.5. Bengals without T. Higgins.
I genuinely think that the Ravens are the best team in football right now, despite last week's performance where they kind of laid an egg. I think Lamar is going to be a very, very hard man to keep away from his second MVP. I think that the Ravens are they're going to win. I think they might actually blow them out.
Wow, blowout.
I'm not calling my shot, but what I should say is, I would not be shocked if the Ravens just run roughshod over them.
I mean, I would pick the Ravens to win this as well. Like, also, I'll take, you know, the over 3.5 on that. Lamar is just doing Lamar things this year. Like, if you're someone in fantasy football that happens to own one of their receivers, Zay Flowers, an OBJ, a Bateman, you're not super happy with their production. Yet the Ravens are 7-3. So, like, Lamar is making things happen, even though his receivers are not necessarily getting the job done. Cowboys and Panthers. Cowboys are favored by 10.5.
It doesn't even. Cowboys cover. They'll win by like 2 touchdowns. Like, especially after last week's performance where Dak kind of gave the middle finger to the world, right? Like, and CeeDee Lamb is clearly establishing himself as a legit, like, irrefutable number one wide receiver at this point in his career. And the Panthers just aren't good. We saw
that firsthand in that Bears game, right? Like,
and the Bears are a bad football team, to be clear.
The Bears are not a good football team. They settle for field goals. The Cowboys don't settle for field goals. The Cowboys have a really good defense, and they have much more explosiveness currently on offense. This should be a blowout, Cowboys.
And I feel like I just want to touch on it. I feel like Brandon Cooks is someone we forget how good he is all the time. Brandon Cooks is a legit NFL wide receiver.
You just forget, like, because he's traded every year.
This is true. Like, he is.
It's just, I don't, there's something off there where, I don't know maybe if it's just what, who in the locker room, there's something weird or what, but like,
maybe he's just a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, I don't know.
But he does produce.
I'm looking up his numbers right now because I don't want to be talking like this. And yeah, he's got 26 catches for 3 touchdowns and 340 yards, averaging 13 yards a catch. Like, that's fine.
Yes. Yeah.
Totally acceptable.
For your wide receiver 2, 3, however you want to put him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Steelers at Browns. So this line has moved. It was Browns minus 4, but now we got the Deshaun Watson shoulder surgery news. Couldn't happen to a better guy. Browns are still favored, though, by 1.
You know, I'm not sure there's a better coach in football right now than Mike Tomlin, despite his weird, like, rapport or willingness to keep a guy who clearly is not an NFL play caller in Matt Canada.
Does Matt Canada have, like, some, like, something on Mike Tomlin? Like, how is he not fired?
Some sort of voodoo magic. I don't know.
I don't get it.
But that is the definition of the standard is the damn standard.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know how Tomlin does it. I don't know what the Steelers do, but that defense is otherworldly again. They're doing enough on offense to keep them floating around. I think the Steelers went outright.
Cardinals at
especially because the Tomlin stat.
Tomlin stat.
Rookie quarterbacks are 23 and Mike Tomlin is 23-8 versus rookie quarterbacks starting. DTR is the starter in Cleveland.
Oh, DTR is starting.
DTR is starting.
Oh man, we're not going to get the PJ Walker revenge game later.
No PJ Walker revenge game, barring a change of heart.
And you and I, if you go back to our draft assessment, some of those videos, I mean, you and I both drafted DTR at one point. I mean, we thought he would be a great backup for Justin's, and so he can play. He's a solid.
He's got some stuff to be excited about.
Cardinals at Texans. Texans favored by 5.
Feels like too big, especially because I think Kyler Murray is back. And
James Conner's back.
Conner's back. I think it's a weird place to be at where it's like Kyler. It's like Kyler went away and we forgot how good Kyler was. Like, this guy was an MVP candidate a couple seasons ago. Like, we just need to remember that Kyler is still a really damn good football player.
He is. The taste of that last year before he got hurt is just left in a lot of people's mouths right now. But you have to remember, look at the whole, not the small.
Well, Cliff Kingsbury's a raging imbecile. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And then lastly, if you notice there's a trend, it's all the teams that are kind of in contention for that number one pick. Giants at Commanders. Commanders favored by 9.
With how the offense has been playing and Sam Howell looking like he's maybe taking a step to be a starter in this league, which I think is like he'll probably – I feel like Sam Howell and Baker Mayfield are like the Spider-Man meme where they have a lot of the same similarities and a lot of the same weaknesses. It's just that they got him with the 5th-round pick and not the number 1 overall pick that the Browns used.
Raise your hand if at the beginning of the year you predicted that the league leaders in passing yards would be Sam Howell, C.J. Stroud, and then Tua Tagovailoa. Oh, and then Jared Goff at number 5.
Jared Goff. Ooh. Wild. So, yeah, I think that the commies might cover that, actually.
He's actually better than I thought. But, yeah, so
I want guys to be good. It's just when you're being honest in your assessment, you have to say things to keep your thoughts out there kind of thing.
A Coccyx and Bull story, our bold prediction section. I'll rattle off my offense defense. On defense, Bears nearly matched their most sacks in a game with 4. The Chicago Bears have their most sacks in a game. That was back against the Commanders with 5. A lot of that was in garbage time. I think they get 4. That's my bold prediction. I don't think they actually get 4, but whatever. And then on offense, Justin throws and runs for a combined 365 yards.
Oh, my.
This would be 5 yards more than than his previous high, which was against the Broncos in October.
Okay, wow. So my Coxes and Bulls story, I think this offense sorely missed Khalil Herbert, and he got hurt right as he was hitting his stride. I don't know how many carries he's going to get, but from my understanding, you would know probably better than I would. From my understanding, his ankle is fine. He's good. Like, he's totally 100%. Like, they kept him out last week because of the short week, right?
Yes.
So, to my understanding, he's totally 100%, like, beginning of season good.
Yeah.
So, he's going to broach 100 yards on the ground.
Okay.
So, that's my bold prediction for that. Defensively, Tyreek Stevenson gets his first pick.
Does he also get three pass interferences?
Yes. And then but he's going to keep doing his sword celebration even when he doesn't do anything.
and we're joking around. Like, I like Tyreek Stevenson. He's got – his skills are good. It's just – he's just too handsy right now. I need you to stop getting pass interference and roughings and all that other stuff.
He does like to be grabby, very grabby.
And we're nearing the end of the show here. Offensive player of the game. For me, I'm going to kind of switch up a little bit. I'm going to say Khalil Herbert. I originally had DJ, but I'm going to say Khalil Herbert. You convinced me. I think that, yeah, he is very important to this run game. And they will
have to get like five carries and they're going to forget about him.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because we put it into the universe. To win this game, you have to lean on that run, right? And you talked about that earlier. All right, what do you got?
Offensive player of the game. I'm going to stick with my bold prediction. Same thing as you. I think Khalil Herbert is going to be the guy if you want to win this game, because you're gonna have to play the ugly old school way of football, ball control and run the ball.
Defensive player of the game. I have Jack Sanborn, just tackle machine.
Save God. Keep the
city. If you're – this team is pretty good at yards after catch, right? Like you said, dumping the ball to one of the running backs, whether you're talking about Gibbs or Montgomery in the backfield. So limiting that's going to be huge. We talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown, some of those, you know, shallow crossers, slants, things of that nature. Can you rally and make the tackle? So I think that's going to be imperative for the Bears to win this game. Jack Sangod.
I'll go with the obvious, easy, low-hanging fruit to kind of – piggyback off your Coxes and Bull prediction. Montez Sweat. Like, I think he's going to make his presence felt again. He's easily running away and hiding as the best defensive lineman on this team. And I think he's finally going to get his first sack as a Bear. And he's going to allow other guys to maybe get home. I'm feeling like a DeMarcus Walker one from like the three technique position. I don't know why.
That'd be great. I mean, coming off last year with the Titans, he had a bunch of pressures, bunch of sacks, and he's gonna take
advantage of Frank Ragnow and his toe and back problems.
Toe, back, rest, old man injuries, yeah. Lastly, King of the North. What you got?
I mean, it's the Justin Fields section, right?
It's the Justin Fields section. It has to be. I mean, if they had any chance to win this game, or not even just win the game, if they have any chance to look like a team that belongs, it's gotta be Justin.
Yeah, I mean, the easy one would actually probably be to say King of the North. It would be Jared Goff. Like, that's the answer. But, you know, Mason and I, we've said it a bunch of times. First the party, last of the funeral. Like, till the wheels fall off kind of thing.
And if you haven't followed me on Twitter, I'm going to be insufferable if Justin looks good this game. It's going to be a bunch of I told you so. It's going to be, you know, you can't get on the bandwagon. It's too late. Like, I'm a ride or die with Justin until it's literally.
What Mason is telling you is he's a mean girl. You can't sit here.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Hey, if you don't hate me at my worst, don't be at us when we're at our best. Danny, anything else you have before we get out of here?
Nah, man, it's coming to the holiday season. We're getting ready to decorate and everything for the Christmas season coming up. We're actually a little late by our standards. Normally we're up like November 5th or so, but
same. We're hoping Sunday morning to put up our like outdoor stuff and to get our tree up.
Yeah, so we've got two trees. We got the slim like toothpick tree that we keep over here, and then because we have the nice big vaulted ceilings and stuff, we got a 12 foot tree that we hang that we put up too.
Yeah, that's all we got for today. Not really sure what next week's gonna look like. Obviously, Thursday when we normally record is Thanksgiving, so I like y'all, but I'm not recording at 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving. Maybe sneak out like a pre-recorded thing or something here in the morning, because I do want you to have something for the preview for that for the game that week. But it's not going to be a live show at 5 p.m. I will be doing other things. But until then, bear down.